Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Grundy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week, Froggy went a-courtin', real princesses, and horrible, horrible things that happen at the gym. Really horrible. Like, turn your headphones off right now. Welcome to Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
With us is stand-up comedian and comedy writer Mike Schmidt. Mike, welcome.
Hi, I'm Mike Schmidt. I don't have a clever nickname like you guys.
You can make one up right now
or
if you want
title.
To.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about the non-headphoned Mike Schmidt? I don't get any headphones
Mike
for the
is,
broadcast.
Mike is really bitter, like disproportionately bitter, because Jordan and I are wearing headphones.
That's actually a sore spot because it led to me losing a job earlier this week. So I don't know if bitter's the word we want to use.
Wait, you lost your job because you didn't have headphones?
I wasn't really. No. Being bitter.
Being bitter. Oh, yeah, my gotcha.
My anger and bitterness led to me being removed from a project that I was involved in for quite a long time.
I gotcha. It wasn't specifically headphone related.
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, that I just wanted to make sure that was clear because that would be. And yes, less maybe you worked in a headphone store.
Yeah, I dabble.
Or like, Mike, you have to wear headphones when you're on the job. You have to push the product. You're like, no dice, man.
No, I can't. Look at this head of hair. I can't possibly smash it down.
I'm going to mess up Mike's coif. Yeah. We are broadcasting our introduction live from a subway car. Mm-hmm. Inside of a subway car.
Yeah, look at us.
Yeah,
a couple of real New Yorkers.
And that would make me what? Since you're a couple of New Yorkers, who am I?
You don't have
headphones, so you're not involved.
You're not aware of the okay. subway noise.
I'm the guy sitting in something strange.
Yeah, exactly. We took a week off, just 1 week. Mm-hmm. We only took 1 week off, and yet our lives changed dramatically.
Yeah.
In the intervening time,
it's been a really big couple of weeks.
I got a dog. His name is Woofy.
He's currently walking around.
He's allowed to be on the show if he barks or something. I'll be surprised because he's not much of a barker, but that's just Woofy.
Woofy actually wearing headphones.
Yeah.
Make me feel even worse.
It's not even dog-sized headphones that you couldn't wear.
No.
These are people headphones that we could easily put on you.
I could use them.
He doesn't even know English.
Yeah. Dog looks so cute, though, in him, you know?
He does look really cute. You got to understand, it's not really about... He doesn't really contribute, you know, directly to the podcast, Mike. It's more that he just kind of sets a fun podcasty tone by wearing those headphones.
Also, his big headphones have smaller headphones on them.
Jordan, you went to Hawaii.
I went to Hawaii.
I went to San Francisco. Mike isn't on the podcast he used to be on.
Yeah.
When we booked Mike, he was Mike Schmidt of the Never Not Funny podcast, but now he's Mike Schmidt, not of the Never Not Funny podcast.
True.
Didn't you do something else that was really cool?
I went to a Star Wars convention.
Jordan went to the Star Wars convention. I went to San Francisco to visit my family and my girlfriend's family, and I bought a car.
An El Camino, as I understand.
A 1985 Chevrolet El Camino.
This is your second El Camino.
Yes. This is my second El Camino. It's because it's the king of vehicles. It's half car, half truck.
So you bought a dog and an El Camino.
Yeah.
Did you get a shotgun and a wife beater T-shirt as well? Or I don't know if that's a set.
Oh, Mike. No, I got a...
He got a 12er of Natty Ice. Okay.
I just yesterday I replaced the speakers in my El Camino.
Oh yeah,
I'm really fucking handy now.
What about the A-track? Is that still in there? Or
it has a Craig cassette deck. Craig is like I was trying to do. My girlfriend Teresa didn't kind of understand the reference of what it's like, what it means to have a Craig cassette deck in your car. That's sort of like what if you bought your car stereo at Walgreens. That's like the kind of quality of car stereo that's in the car right now.
That's weird because Craig is a name that I trust.
Is it? Do you trust that
in
name?
Virtually any product, not just electronics?
You're not talking, and you're not even going to limit it to products. You're just talking about people named Craig.
Anyone named Craig? Craig Bierko. I'm a fan, and I enjoy him.
Craig T. Nelson.
Absolutely.
There's no
who doesn't trust
not
the coach?
Yeah, I know. Well, Dauber sometimes. But we're we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Anyway, we've got a lot to talk about on this week's Jordan Jesse Go. We'll be back in just a second. This is Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
With us, Mike Schmidt. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Jordan,
I feel left out because I don't have, you guys have the mellifluous tones, and I feel like I have to try hard to keep up because I hear, you know, America's radio sweetheart and boy detective, and then I'm just a jackass who doesn't know how to talk.
No, so. You have that kind of, you know, you have that kind of regular guy appeal.
Yeah.
Whereas we're polished broadcasters. You're, you're just kind of the guy hanging out at the tire store.
I heard that because I used to, doing voiceover work, I always wanted to go for the guy who would narrate some, you know, science film strip.
Right.
And they'd go, no, you should be doing a Wendy's commercial. That's the guy you should be. You should be reading something about, you know, hot and juicy burgers. And I always wanted to be the deep intonation guy. And
Edward Everett Horton.
Here's a who? Who are we talking about?
Is that a real guy?
Who?
I recognize the name.
Edward Horton.
I had Dr. Seuss in my head.
Isn't he the guy who did the, isn't he like a respected British actor and he narrated the fractured fairy tales on Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Oh, I know those. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, you've just stumped me, which is
he's absolutely right. I've heard Edward Everett Horton, but then I went for the who's a here's a who.
That's the only Horton with which I'm familiar with, other than the Reverend Heat.
Yeah, nice. this might be another candidate for Jordan is wrong.
Can I? You know, I have something important that I want to share with you before we talk about the topic of this segment. My Little Pony. That I'm holding in my hand.
Yes, Jess is currently holding a yellow My Little Pony with Pegasus wings and a flower butt.
Exactly.
A flower on its butt.
And a magenta mane and a magenta tail.
Yes.
My girlfriend Teresa's mother got this for her because she finished her law school finals, mm-hmm. and she sent it along. And it's obviously a very nice My Little Pony. But what you don't know about it is something we learned when we read the back of the card that it came, you know, it came on the bubble card or whatever it's called. This My Little Pony and several others just found out that they're real princesses.
What?
Oh.
I know. So you guys are in the presence of a real princess.
What did they think they were before?
I think they thought that someone was bullshitting them. Someone had told them that they were princesses, but they're like, nah, that's horse shit.
See, that changes everything. That takes what was a crappy gift for finishing law school and makes it a royal crappy gift for finishing law school.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I would like, by the end of this program, for us to find out that we're real princesses.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
It's funny that it's her and several others.
Yeah.
Like, there was some, like...
Well, the group collectively found out they were real princesses. That's what's so nice about it is, I don't know, it said in the packet, they just found out they're real princesses. So I don't know if there's a guy that tells you that, like they come up in, you know, a caprice, like the guys who tell you that your son in the military died. Or, like, I don't know exactly how it happens, like how it goes down.
You know you're a princess when they actually come to the door.
Yeah.
That's when you know.
They bring you your tiara. Mm-hmm.
But you can see it in her face, too. I'm sure all of them have a pleasant look, but she's got that smug,
she's
like
got
that
a real
kind of a sneer.
Shit-eating grin on her
fuck
face.
You. Put me down.
I'm a real fucking princess.
Yeah, you don't want any piece of me, seriously. Oh, my word.
You know what you can do for me? Taste my food to make sure it's not poisoned.
You can get beaten when I do something wrong.
Which is often.
Yeah, right, I know.
Well, it's back to the princess stables to eat hay infused with cotton candy.
Oh, sure, yeah, you gotta do that.
Later at night, I will visit the town wearing pauper's clothes.
To find out how the half of its fake princesses lives?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that impersonating a princess is a crime punishable by 10 years in pony jail? That's why it's so important that they found out they're real princesses.
Hey, Jesse, seriously? What the fuck is your problem?
I don't know, Jordan. She told me, she read it to me when she got it. She said, Jesse, they just found out they're real princesses. I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Is that even content for our program? Probably not. I should press delete right now, but I probably won't.
Keep it going.
Okay, well, we'll
raw
be back.
And uncensored.
I think instead of trying to make this now into a segment about something else, let's end this. This is the segment about real princesses.
Sure.
Do you guys have anything else you need to throw in on the real princess subject while we're here?
No, absolutely. Please, let's end it as quickly as possible.
Fuck no.
We'll be back in just a second. Jordan, Jesse, go. You're listening to Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
With us, Mike Schmidt, stand-up comedian and comedy writer. Mike, welcome.
Hi.
I've welcomed you like four times at this point.
I enjoy being welcomed. I say hi every single time as if I just walked in.
Yeah. Hey. It's fun. It's fun.
What's going on in here, guys? Podcast?
Fellas, what's in the den?
Mind if I sit down?
Sorry, I was downstairs getting some chiclets and a Corona blanket, and I thought I'd step back upstairs.
Oh.
And a Budweiser King of Rears t-shirt. You can get a lot of that in Jesse's neighborhood.
Mike's going ethnic about where I live. Mike, I was about to say unceremoniously drop, but somewhat ceremonious.
We actually had a ceremony.
Yeah.
It was not good.
It involved a candle being blown out.
Yeah, and ripping your metal off.
Yeah.
Before you finished up with the Never Not Funny podcast, you were in the midst of running down your strangest and most bizarre stories about the gym.
Yeah.
There's a couple that you'd already said on the Never Not Funny podcast, but I feel like we should sort of give a recap because a lot of folks obviously don't listen to this show. So what were some of the top awful things that have happened to you? What kind of gym do you go to? Do you go to like a...
I go to a Bally's, which is a regular,
gym.
You know, it's
a normal gym.
Which I thought was national, and I guess it's not, because then I would do stand-up on the road, I would go to towns, and there's no Bally's. There's Gold's, so I'm a member of Gold's and Bally's. I wound up using both.
Okay.
So take that information.
So, good. Take notes, folks. It's it's informational as well, if you have a road lifestyle. Vacuum cleaner salesman, for example.
Yeah. I've actually
Fuller
started doing that.
Fuller brush man.
Yeah. Anyway, so
that's the second I've talked about Fuller Brushman twice this weekend. Now
you have,
yes.
Fuller Brushman's a great thing to talk about.
Sure.
Did you know
that's got to be the worst date you've ever had? That discussion the last time.
Yeah, I got punched in the face.
My mom has a salesman sample vacuum. It's like a vacuum cleaner from the 30s style vacuum cleaner that's like a foot long. It's the weirdest thing you ever seen in your life.
Where did she acquire that?
Would she got it? I don't know. My mom's antiques and furniture dealer part time, so she probably got an estate sale or something.
Oh,
like
okay.
That.
Part time, does that mean she just watches that
show
on PBS? No, she's a garage sale.
She's a college. She does like to watch Antiques Roadshow, but she's a college professor. But she only teaches a couple days a week. So
okay,
she goes to estate sales on Fridays and Saturdays and sells stuff.
My wife will get fooled by that periodically. Like she has a violin at her house, and she's like, and it actually says Stradivarius like on the inside of the violin part. And she's like, "Oh my god, we have this amazing." And I'm like, "Honey, do you really think you would have some Stradivarius violin that was in Romeoville, Illinois? I mean, there's no way." But of course, we had to go schlep to some guy in Los Angeles, down in some downtown LA guy, and he evaluated it, held it up to the light, and all that nonsense. And yeah, it's not.
No, it isn't. We were talking about gymnasiums.
Yeah.
Jordan, are you still going? Did you decide to join the Crunch Gym?
I have not joined the Crunch
Boy,
Gym.
You'll have some good stories coming out of the Crunch Gym.
Yeah. I was considering joining it. I was a member of the YMCA for a long time and really...
fun to stay there.
Yes, I've heard that, young man. And I really liked it. It was really great. It's not like, it's and I think people's complaint about the gym in LA is that it feels like a, pickup scene and everybody's in makeup and we're, wearing nice things and trying to be, seen and has like had their headshots with them while they're on the elliptical. And the YMCA definitely did not feel like that to me. And I'm pretty, kind of sensitive to areas like that and would kind of be easily grossed out if something felt like that. But the YMCA felt really good. A lot of Mexican babies around, which really put me at ease.
Yeah,
it is the
I
Mexican
feel the same
Christian
way.
Association.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's Mexican babies around, fucking count me in.
Yeah, that's probably a solid place. No, it was really a positive experience, and I felt healthy. But I moved kind of semi-recently, and I guess I've been saying I've moved semi-recently for a long time.
You moved a long time ago.
I moved 5 months ago. Half a year ago, I moved. Anyways, and it just got too hard to get to the YMCA. I was too far away, and I'm kind of working on the other side of town now, too. So it just became...
You no longer get the poor person discount.
Yeah,
also.
That too. I started... I got financial aid before because I wasn't making enough money, but in my new job, I am now making a fucking shitload.
Wait a minute. So, the YMCA gives financial aid, or you were getting it from the government?
Yeah, no. The YMCA gives financial aid. You have to turn in your, your I-9, and if you are making below a certain amount, pretty bad. It's like it's a pretty low amount. I was surprised.
But are you comfortable sharing your tax information with the YMCA?
Yeah, it was a little weird because you have to just fold it up and drop it in this Dropbox.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's ever happening.
Speaking as a child of poverty, like I feel really comfortable sharing my tax information with just anybody that will give me a discount. Like I feel like my life, like my whole like between age 12 and 18, was just me showing like my parents. Tax information to people to get 20 bucks off of something.
Well, he's what's fun, maybe at the time you were that, but now that he's making all this huge TV dough, there's some Mexican baby using Jordan's social security number to get credit cards all over town.
You know, yeah. That actually happened recently. I did get my social security
and it was
stolen.
A Mexican baby. He was so fucking adorable.
I know.
And little fat cheeks, you know, and he couldn't. You know,
you saw him in the moon bounce and he your wallet fell out, he grabbed it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that did happen. It was kind of a pain in the butt. And it might have been from the YMCA. Who knows? Anyway, so I can't go to the YMCA anymore, but there's a Crunch Fitness right across the street from my house. And it just seems like I could walk there. So it would seem like maybe I should consider joining it. But I haven't actually looked into it at all. So, update. Jordan, update. Fitness update. Haven't even gotten a brochure from Crunch yet. Anyway.
Good. Now, okay, so we're getting back here to Mike's top three horrible things that have happened to him at the gym, which actually had a 3A as well.
It did have a 3A.
So 3A was?
Well, 3A was, there was quite an argument that a lot of the guys felt this should be in the top three, but I was in the hot tub. There's a community hot tub at my gym.
25-person hot tub?
Yeah, it's a big, big L, and I was in there with my wife. And a guy comes in the hot tub, and he, you know, goes under the water, gets up, and then he goes under the water, kind of just submerges his head halfway, opens his mouth, and swallows a mouthful of hot tub water on purpose.
Wow.
Yeah, he was not. It wasn't like an accident. He purposely did it. put it in, filled his mouth, and then stood up and swallowed it, and just kind of like and then went.
And then like got out. He got out and started punching a punching bag. That'd have been great.
Once he'd stolen everyone's power.
Yeah.
By ingesting their sweat.
No kidding. Yeah, that was 3A, and everybody else thought that happened after my top three. So I made it a 3A, and then everybody said, you know what, that needs
to
go
for that.
Into the top three.
Okay, yeah. So it was three.
Okay, number three to me was there was a guy who walked out. He was about 6'4 and in good shape, but he was wearing the tiniest French cut banana hammock swimsuit you could ever imagine, and it was flesh colored, so you saw every vein. And he loped into the hot tub, is the only way I can describe it, kind of like a gorilla at a watering hole, and threw water on himself, and creepily enough had nipples the size of thumbs. I just like long nipples, and buff, big packs, and he's throwing water on himself, and he takes a lap. He goes down the L to the other end of the L, up and over, then down to the middle of the L, and then he walks to go over, and I see him do it. He adjusts to where he pulls the swimsuit off, and boom, just Enola Gay's the whole hot tub and drops everything
Jeez.
Into the water and sits down and kept his hands above the water. Otherwise, I would have thought he was. Taking care of some business, but luckily hands above the water. He just enjoyed apparently getting the Jets were taking care of business.
The way that you said taking care of business just now, it seemed like you were giving him, you would have given him a provisional okay if he had like he's got some business to take care of.
Look, this guy's sometimes you got to run off a batch in the community hot tub.
The man's on a tight schedule.
God, bang, bang, people.
That's why we have blackberries.
Could have done it in the pool. Could have done it in the sauna. You'd have been horrified.
These are tough times for the giant nippled. He's got to get it done while he can get it done.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that was number what?
That was three.
That's three. Number two.
Number two, and there was dispute. Everybody thought 3A should take the place of two or at least bump two down.
3A's pretty bad, man. I don't know why that's so freaky.
3A's horrifying. To see it was just grim. But then, so two... was I walked into my locker room and I went to the restroom type area and I took a left because that's where the paper towels are. Mm-hmm. And there was a naked guy who was probably only like 5'2" and he was completely naked, barefoot and naked, and he was on his tiptoes at a hand dryer, holding his cock and balls underneath the heat to try to, like, I guess, get the hot air to blow on them. But it looked like he was trying to stuff his nuts into the dryer, quite frankly.
Jeez.
And he's, but the thing is, he's a tiny man, so he's on his tiptoes trying to reach it, so he's precariously balanced, and he's cradling his...
It'd be
his...
funny if that song was playing, like, na 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 na.
Yeah, it was, he was like, it was like he had an Easter egg on a spoon or something, and he was holding them so gently.
It was a carnival game or something.
It was terrible.
He was trying to win something at the company picnic.
And to be clear, this was the handicapped hand dryer, not the high hand dryer. No, this is the lower hand dryer?
Yeah, this is a lower one, and it's, I had to say, pardon me, because above it was where the towels are. So I'm like, excuse me, Bilbo, because he was a hairy dude, just totally short. And so I had to get the towels. And then
that's terrifying to me. I've never even been a member of a gym. I've never, and there was no gym at my high school or middle school. I've never been in the presence of a bunch of naked dudes outside of in Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
Japan's the only place I've been. I went to the community bath in Japan, but just the idea, like, you wouldn't even have to say he's cradling his balls and bringing them up to the hand dryer. That's totally not required to freak me out. Like, what about, there's just a bunch of naked dudes, and I was naked too.
Yeah.
Also, I just exercised. That would triple the freak out for me.
So I was weak in case they wanted to overpower me and do things to me. Oh, God. Yeah, I was not naked, by the way, when I saw a naked hand dryer guy. But, So all right, here's number one.
That's what I like about the hand dryer guy is he knows what he wants and he's just going to go for it.
He did.
He could just towel off his business.
Nope.
But nope.
Well, that's why there was some dispute because Jimmy on the Never Not Funny podcast, Jimmy Pardo, said that he will often take the hand dryer and give a little boom boom downstairs. And then Matt Belknap has conceded that he has done it as well at his home sometimes. And I get that. But this guy was not, he didn't have a handheld dryer.
I don't get that. No, I'm not on board for that. They were talking about it as though that was a perfectly normal thing to do, to dryer off your business.
Yeah, I agree. I don't do it, but I understand if they want to do it, that's fine. But it's not even in the same fucking sport as this guy.
No, absolutely not. Before you get to number one,
yes.
This is a conversation I had last night with my girlfriend Teresa. We were sitting here and she was like, oh, is I know Mike's not going to be on Never Not Funny anymore. Is he still going to come on Jordan Jesse Go? And I was like, yeah, we're excited to have Mike on Jordan Jesse Go. And guess what? Did you hear this week's show? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, she's like, no, I haven't heard it yet. And I said, oh, well, Mike is going to tell his number one worst gym story on the show because he's not going to be able to tell it on Never Not Funny. And Teresa's like, are you sure that's a good idea? And I'm like, I don't know. It seems okay to me. And she's like, I don't know. I mean, you're friends with Matt and Jimmy, and I wouldn't want you to, like, damage your relationship with them or anything. And I was like, no, it's fine. I mean, it's just a gym story. But I'm getting really, like, I feel really worried because honestly, like, Teresa's emotional intelligence is 10,000 times higher than mine, right? Like, I'm sure that if there's ever a question, if Teresa ever tells me that something for some emotional reason is the wrong thing to do, she's definitely right and I'm definitely wrong. So I'm feeling worried. And then I'm just sitting there, like, feeling worried, like stewing in my own worriedness. And I looked at her and I said, Teresa, Jim, G-Y-M, not J-I-M. And she was like, oh,
that should be fine.
So she thinks I'm coming on to tell Jimmy Pardo
shit
story.
About Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah.
And like I was like happy and excited about that idea.
This is going to be great. What a coup.
Or maybe Jim Dial, the character from Murphy Brown.
Yeah, definitely Jim Dial from Murphy Brown. Anyway, your number one worst story about comedian Jimmy Pardo.
Oh, is?
No, your number one worst story about going to the gym.
Yeah, all right. And again, this is my personal choice. Everybody else might think the hot water is bad, or everybody else might think the other things are bad. But this is actually the first one I saw, and the other three were never able to dethrone it in my eyes. I worked out and, lifted for about an hour and then ran a couple miles on the treadmill. So I was gassed. And I come in when I'm finished working out, I am crazy soaked because I'm a big fat guy. So then I am like ridiculously
and that's a serious workout too.
Yeah, and weighed down by clothing and just tired. So I walk into the gym and I'm walking with a guy. He happens to be walking the same pace as me. We both go in. He's finished with his workout. And I have, I've got my iPod on my arm and I keep my headphones in. It's just and I'll sit down. I have big knee braces on. And so I can't even move, barely. So I walk in, and I just plop down on the bench. And I'm there. I'm waiting to, you know, tackle my lock. This guy comes in, and he's two lockers down from me on my left-hand side. And he's a lot quicker than me, so he gets completely undressed. He's naked. And I'm not even really noticing, because in the gym, everybody gets undressed. So I'm just kind of seeing him out of the corner of my eye. He's naked. Great. And I'm still kind of, you know, listening to Public Enemy and trying to calm down and get ready to get in the steam room and stuff. And all of a sudden, I see this guy. He's in his locker, and he turns around to me. He has his back to me. And he bends over. And his arm, his right arm, from the back, I just see it going like this.
So he's doing a jerk-off sort of motion. Wing
yes,
jerk-off.
Yes. And I mean, so imagine a guy bent over, and then you just see his arm going like this really fast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this guy's not jerking off right next to me. I mean, after a workout, he's not that guy who's now full of endorphins and has to, you know, drop seed on the floor. I'm horrified. I don't even want to look, but yet I'm like, I got to see what the fuck is happening here. Because if he's jerking off, I'm telling somebody, this is not good. So then I look over and I see his hand come between his legs and I see like a flash of red. And I mean, like, I go, what the hell was that? I don't even know what it, now I got to look. So I look over and then he turns around and he puts his leg up on the bench. Now he has worked out. He's sweaty. He was as sweaty as me when he walked in, took his clothes off, did not take a shower. He never moved, got completely naked. He has deodorant and he is rubbing it on his balls and his cock and his in between his ass cheeks. I mean, he is coating it. He is rubbing deodorant all over his thighs.
You were making a vigorous motion.
It was crazy. I don't know if this is, and I have no idea. I'm like, is this before a shower? Is this in lieu of a shower? Does he have a date? What's happening? But he reaches back and he does the, I'll spare you, but he skins back and goes underneath foreskin. Gosh. And I mean, the whole deodorant, all, and I'm looking like, and I'm going, stop looking. Why are you looking? You got to stop looking. I can't stop looking.
Because it's the craziest thing that's ever happened.
And he goes up, like I said, between his ass cheeks, like not even like this cursory thing. He digs right in there. Like he's he's fucking planting the flag on the moon.
The brand is that Old Spice.
It's right, that red. Yeah, I think it was Old Spice. He got it in his meaty fist. I don't know. And he puts it in the scrotum, in between the thighs, all over. And like I said, skins back his dick. Pardon me, everybody. Like you would in prison when they're checking you for contraband. Don't ask how I know that. And and then he unloads all over that, all over, and then gets dressed, and then just puts his clothes on to leave. Does not take a shower. He's soaked, but covers himself. And a good, you know, 1,000 strokes of deodorant, to the point where it must have been like cake frosting on him. I mean, it was like horrifying. And again, if that is too much for everybody, I apologize. Imagine sitting 2 feet from it and not understanding what was happening.
Wow. I'm sitting 1,000 feet and hopefully maybe like a year from it, and I have no idea what was happening.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
That is terrifying.
And again, it's like, you know, if a guy, and I'm not condoning this either, but if a guy has like a little aerosol deodorant and goes psh, psh, and gives it, you know, like, you know, maybe that is okay. I don't know.
That's definitely, I mean, I don't know if it's okay, but it's definitely a lot less weird.
Yeah. And again, that may not be everybody's number one, but when you were as close as I was to it, and he was going, he was, you know, open for business. I mean, he was really digging in there and coating it all up. And all I could think of was, what does he have to do? Is he going to now spend it? Because it was early in the morning. Well, is he now going to spend his day like that?
He's in that puppetry of the penis, so it's going to get a real workout later.
Yeah, that was it. That was the, and I've received a lot of emails and people wanted to know about it. Oh, and I'm sure every single one of them now regrets asking me to recount it because
holy moly,
was terrible.
God.
That's mm-hmm. something else, huh?
Boy.
I'm glad that I get this reaction because I'm used to, you know, like when Jimmy defended the guy with the dryer, in my head, so then you double clutch in your head and you go, well, maybe this wasn't so bad. Thank God you guys were as stunned as I was.
It's bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was horrific.
It's not, I should change my reaction. Because, yes, it is horrific. There is an element of horror that I wouldn't deny. but more than that, there's this deep-seated puzzlement. Like, part of the horror is just a total, like, a lack of understanding, like, how you felt when you were, like, 14 and you were in world history class and you learned about the Holocaust. And you just don't understand how people could do something like that. Not that this is as bad as the Holocaust. Obviously, I would never make that kind of comparison. But it's that same, just a deep inside you not knowing how this could possibly be real.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there. Like I said, I'm gassed. I've just worked out and stuff. And I'm you know, I'm debating. I'm going, all right, do I just get dressed and leave now because I'm sad? I don't know who I was. Do I pluck my own eyes out of my head? I mean, what is, I can't see that.
Should I be putting deodorant on my stuff?
Is this what we're supposed to be doing? Yeah,
I mean, it's obviously like a ritual for him. It's like, yes, like that's the way this guy lives. You know, it would seem that this isn't like, well, I'll try the old Armenian shower. You know, that I've heard so much about. I mean, it seems like from the way you describe it, this is something this guy does.
Yeah,
you
know? It's the Armenian shower. I understand.
Is that called? I recently learned that. Called it that.
To be clear, we would never dream of suggesting that this is that was just
the
a
way
made
Armenians.
Up.
Yeah, that was two just, words together.
Yeah,
yeah. We meant to say cab driver bath.
Intended to be a nonsense phrase.
Sure. Also, I'm racist.
Yeah. Well, you are racist, but I don't think you've ever expressed it. We try and keep it off the air.
Yeah.
You know.
Something I do in my private time.
Yeah, because this original show was Jordan, Jesse, Go Home Immigrants. And you guys went, you know what? Maybe that's not going to get us a lot of listeners.
Yeah.
Not the right listeners.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem is that the listeners it's going to get us are unemployed because the immigrants stole their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but it was a good promotion for my Norse-themed metal band.
Oh, nice.
So that helped us a lot. That helped Journey to Valhalla.
Jordan, you're in one of those bands where people get like horns implanted under their scalp and get their ears plastic surgeried into like elf ears, and also they kill people and eat them.
Yes, that is what I'm talking about.
Are you the are you the Cookie Monster of that band, or do you play an instrument? Are you the singer with the
No, I mean, like, I wasn't the drummer, but I was the percussionist.
Okay.
They had the drummer.
Dung, 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 dung.
So, you know, I played, you know, a lot of the woodblock,
cowbell, sure. Sandpaper
blocks, xylophone. Yeah. I rubbed the outside of wine glasses.
I understand you saw Stomp, and then you brought a garbage can lid in. You said, you know what, guys, this is going to work. It's going to be fantastic.
The
little push broom.
Yeah, absolutely.
In their big song, you actually used a real cannon.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, borrowed that one from, the 1812 Overture?
Yes.
There you go. We'll be right back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, 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 la. You're listening to Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
With us, Mike Schmidt, comedian, comedy writer, MikeSchmidtComedy.com. Now, we have a segment, probably our most popular segment on the show.
I'm going to say easily our most popular segment.
Okay, easily our most popular segment on the show is Jordan Sings. Now, in Jordan Sings, Mike, if you've never heard this particular segment, and I mean, what have you been living in a cave?
Yeah.
One of those Saddam Hussein spider holes? Where are you? Man, I love American
Next
Idol.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that you're not watching Heroes.
Actually, they played Jordan Sings to get him out of the spider hole. That was it. It blurted at high velocity. High speed.
I bet you've never seen Grey's Anatomy, McClueless. anyway, so in Jordan Sings, Jordan will sing a popular song, and you will listen and enjoy it. Now, because we have Mike here, Mike, I know you're a singer.
I am. I dabble.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I know that you love to sing.
Sure.
So we wanted to include you this week. Are you interested?
Oh my, as long as your listeners don't mind, I don't want to ruin a segment.
No, absolutely not. I think they'll...
As long as I'm singing, someone else can be singing. It can't be someone else sings, but as long as it's Jordan and something else.
Oh, yeah. Good. I'm honored to be asked.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think the listeners are probably singing along at home. So, oh, not true. Right now. I mean, once the song starts.
Yeah.
Psychically, they knew.
And I just want to make a quick note about the song I'm going to sing today.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to sing Froggy Winna Cortin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suggested on the message board.
Yes.
Someone suggested it. But this is the rare... I mean, as much as I love people interacting with the show, I'm not taking requests for Jordan Sings a Song.
This is not a karaoke segment.
No, absolutely not. I'm going to sing whatever song I want to.
Yeah.
So, you know, to save your requests. But in this case, this was requested. I saw it, but I was going to sing it anyways.
Okay.
I just want everyone to know that I this was on the docket to gotcha. Sing Froggy.
You're not letting the man tell you what to do.
Absolutely not. And by the man, I mean
the powerless listener,
Wade World or something, whatever his internet name is.
Wade Word.
Wade Word.
I don't
know.
One of the guys on the Maximum Fun forum. Wade Word.
Anyways, so here we go. Jordan Morris and Mike Schmidt, Froggy Went a Courtin'.
Is there a musical accompaniment? How does this work?
No, acapella.
No, you just, it's a cappella.
Right. Yeah.
It's sort of like,
you go down here, I'll go up here.
I'll be low, I'll go low.
You go low, and I'll go high. Okay. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a-hum. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a-hum. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a sword and pistol by his side. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a-huh. Yes. I think we kind of found our groove there halfway through.
I followed you again. You're really good. I mean,
I'm a very good singer.
Yeah, that
he's got
was
a powerful
great.
Voice. He's untrained, but he has a powerful mm-hmm. voice.
So, yeah, I'm like Tom Waits in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
most
to
ways.
Be sing.
Yeah, you're almost exactly. In fact, you are Tom Waits.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Jordan Jesse Go. We'll be back in just a second.
La 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 la.
This is Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
With us, Mike Schmidt, stand-up comedian, comedy writer, MikeSchmidtComedy.com being his website. There's something I've been wanting to ask you about, Mike, from listening to you on the Never Not Funny podcast, which is I feel like you're always telling these stories about your youthful years, like seems like mostly your teen and early 20s years. And always they involve you getting into a giant fight with somebody. Like, what is that all about? Like, I've literally lived, how old am I? 26. I just turned 26. I've lived 26 years of my life without ever being in a fight with anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how people get into fights. And you, whenever you tell one of the stories about getting into a fight, it's fucking gleeful. You're delighted to tell this story about a fight you got into.
Yeah, I'm a jackass. I've you know, it's just something. I don't know if it's because when I grew up, I didn't have a dad, and I overcompensated with like machismo, or I don't know what the hell it was, but it was just always, I was always ready to scrap.
Did you ever decide, what am I doing? Why am I getting in all these fights?
About at 35, that was probably when I
and you're 30, hey, this you're 39 now, right?
At the PTA meeting.
Yeah. when I was holding the priest's hair in my hand, I said, you know what? It's funny because now even we'll be out, my wife and I, in places, and something will happen, and there will be like a maelstrom or just a shouting match, and I get that vibrating thing, like where it's like, should I get involved in this? No, you shouldn't get involved in this. What are you doing? And but it's just that weird. It's from years of bouncing, and also when I got my ass beat in high school, I mean, I avoided a fight one time. It's so funny. 25 years later, I remember ditching Larry Bagwell and not fighting him. And to this day, wishing I could find Larry Bagwell and fight him just to right that wrong. Because I was scared. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I was scared. And I went around. I took an alternate route home to avoid fighting him.
He's, man, it must drive you up the wall knowing that guy's out there somewhere and his ass isn't kicked.
Yeah. And it wound up like he went on a crime spree with a guy from our high school
crime
and all this
spree.
Nonsense. And
you could have stopped that. You know what the moral of this story is?
Yeah. Always
He's,
fight.
Is Mike's going to become Batman.
Yeah, I was going to say, Larry Bagwell is my Joe Chill.
It.
He is absolutely my Joe Chill.
Here's something I've been thinking about. I watched a documentary recently about this guy, Dwayne Peters. He's a famous punk rock musician, pro skateboarder, who's kind of had this, he's kind of a famous drunk getter, drug doer kind of guy. And anyways, and just plays in these kind of really intense punk bands and does these kind of intense things on stage where he ends up, bleeding and just does all sorts of dangerous skateboard tricks and breaks his bones and things like that. And
I need more backstory on this guy, if I could. And tell me what else he does.
Also, no front teeth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, does not have his front teeth. And the tone of this documentary is an interesting thing because it does go from, his party days to, his tragic downfall. And the tone is different, but it seems like the content of the stories is exactly the same in both of these. It's like you know, you have the rock and music playing for the formative years. You have the rock and music, and he's like every night, you know, bottle of Jack, 8 ball of heroin, you know, 5 hookers on the hotel floor, yeah. And then the tragic fall comes, and it's like the music changes, it's like da na na na, and then it's like bottle of Jack Daniels, 8 ball of heroin. 5 hookers on the hotel floor, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's like just those.
He's like, but today,
yeah,
bottle of Jack Daniel,
yeah, and at the end, not that much it seemed to have changed. I think he stopped doing the 8 balls, but I think he's still,
yeah, fucking and fighting when you're 18 is glamorous and fun,
yeah,
fucking and fighting when you're 28 is a little sad, and if you're doing it when you're 38, then you know,
what
you
did
got
you
a problem.
did you ever like get yourself badly hurt in a fight?
I've broken my hand. Broke my hand on a. I wound up
on a guy's face.
It literally was. I was in a fight in Lake Tahoe, and I used to live in Lake Tahoe, and we were at a bar, and I was wearing. I had a black duster, like a three quarter length duster coat.
Way to go, dark man.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. I had my cigar cutter cutting people's fingers off, and so I'm in the. I'm off bouncing. I'm at a different bar, and I'm with my buddy Ransom, who was a guy I lived with. And
you had to figure you're going out with Ransom. Something bad's gonna happen.
It was his real middle name. It was. It's the coolest name. It was Mark Ransom Gates.
Ransom.
Mark Ransom Gates. Nice. And so we're out at a bar.
Mark Ransom of the New Hampshire Ransoms.
And we're inside this bar, and then someone comes and gets me and goes, "Hey, Ransom's in a fight outside." So I run outside, and Tahoe is a notoriously transient town. So you'd get guys in town for 3 or 4 days, and they'd get their drink on, and then they'd want to throw, or you know, they'd just be causing trouble. They'd be up to no good. So I see Ransom, and Ransom could fight. He knew martial arts, but he was bleeding, and he was down on the ground. And I just see these three guys, and they're yelling, and one of them's kicking them. So I just jump in. I got my stupid coat on. I don't even think about it. I you know, I can barely throw punches and stuff with the coat on, but I didn't care. So I jump in, and I hit one guy in the face. And then I another guy came charging at me, and the thing is, they took their shirts off, which is a street fight thing, because that means, because normally you just want to go hockey fight, you want to just grab a guy's shirt so you can
pull
control
it over
him,
his head.
Yeah, and just start wailing, just start using your right hand while you're controlling him with the shirt, and maybe holding on his other arm. So he's got his shirt off, so I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? So he's running at me, and I'm running backwards, and he's charging at me, kind of a head down thing. I plant my back foot, and I threw a straight right, and I blew his nose up. I broke his nose with the punch.
No.
And so there's three of them. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, he's hurt. If I hit him again in the nose, he's done. And then there's only two to deal with. It's just this weird thing that went through my head. So he then kind of like staggers, and he comes at me, and I throw another right hand to hit him in the nose again.
No.
And he ducks, and I hit him on top of the head, and I hear my hand break in my head.
Oh.
That noise.
Jeez.
And in my head, I just go, all right, that's not good. So I dive in, and then the cops are there, and I grab another guy, and I throw him into the wall, and the police come, and they knew me from bouncing at the other bar. So they're like, hey, what happened? They knew I didn't drink, and so I told them, I go, look, they jumped Ransom, and so these three guys, it was a holiday, I think it might have been Memorial Day weekend, because they got thrown into jail, and they were from San Diego, and we were told later, they just kept them in jail for 4 days because the judges were off because of the 3-day weekend, and so it was Friday night, so they kept them in all through Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Oh.
But then the next morning, I woke up, and my hand had swollen up to where I couldn't even bend my fingers.
Holy
so
moly.
I had, and it's funny, the worst pain I've ever had was they had to set my hand, because he goes, you have what's known as a boxer's fracture. And it was right across, I had broken basically all four knuckles right across.
Oof.
And he had to squeeze them to put them in place before they put the cast on. And that hurt bad.
Oh, man. The only time, the closest, it was funny, when I heard you describe that, I thought of the closest thing that I ever had to a fight, which was when I was maybe like 14, and I had this 49ers jacket. I grew up in San Francisco. I had this 49ers jacket. I really liked this 49ers jacket I had.
What year is that, 14?
The 14, that would have been 1995.
So that's Niners heyday.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they actually won the Super Bowl that year, I think, in San Diego.
That was a good years for the 49ers. And I'm walking down the street, walking past this hospital that I used to live right next to. For anybody who's a San Franciscan, I was walking down Valencia towards the intersection of Mission and Valencia, and this guy's walking the other way with his younger brother or something like that. The guy's about my age, and he's wearing the same 49ers jacket, and he's coming up, and I go, "Hey, nice jacket. like a joke because we're both wearing the same jacket, and he fucking punches me in the face.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, no. And then he just laughs and leaves.
Oh.
Jeez, that was my only fight.
Like closest
you know who that guy was? Larry Bagwell.
Fucking Bagwell.
Oh, oh.
He was in
Bagwell.
The middle of another one of his well-known sprees.
One of his many sprees he's been on.
Wow. And as a guy who had never been and who's not, you know, in those kind of physical things, I mean, you're just shocked, right?
Well, it's funny because, like, I grew up in a really, like, a tough urban neighborhood, right? But I was also, you know, like, skinny and white. And I think, like, for the most part, people just didn't bother with me. Like, there was nothing to be gained from bothering me, you know, unless I had, like, money on me, but I didn't, so.
Could have got a nice jacket.
Yeah, well, nice, you know, he already had one, as it turned out. And I was party to some, like, I've been, like, jumped with, like, knives on a number of occasions.
Wow.
Like, you know, like, with people, like, you know, give me your wallet or whatever, like, kids that are maybe a couple years older than me, or give me your Walkman. That happened maybe, I want to say, four times or something like that when I was a kid. But, you know, like, that doesn't really matter. Like, honestly, like, it's scary and everything. Like, I wouldn't. But it's, people don't like cut you or something. Like, they just, like, show you they have a knife and say, give me your wallet. And then you give them your wallet and they leave because they don't want to, like, get arrested or something, you know? So, you know, like, that is, so that's like this, but that's the only experience that I had of growing up in a tough neighborhood. Like, it's not like I was, like, out scrapping on the street corner. Like, one time I was in the subway station and somebody, like, behind me, like, kind of far away got shot, but it's not like I shot back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think it's weird to explain to somebody, like, the difference between, like, oh, and we was always scrapping, and like, oh, like, you know, like, I got my wallet taken a couple of times.
Yeah.
But yeah, a dude just hit me. Then I went home and I was crying, you know, I was like 13.
Sure.
And I was only like half a block from my house, and my parents were like, my dad and my stepmother were like, what happened? And I explained it to them. And my stepmother grew up in Belfast, and she's of the age where, like, when she was growing up, it was like the height of the troubles in Northern Ireland.
So she went out and filled the car with fertilizer. She's like, let's find these guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, so you can't, I would always be embarrassed if something like this happened to me, because my stepmother, like, at dinner or something, would be telling this story about, like, you know, like, you know, like, a big fight she had with a police officer where, like, you know, like, he had a bottle but she had a bat or something, you know.
And mom,
and then she just tell that story, and she thinks this story is fucking hilarious. She thinks this is the funniest story ever, and the rest of us are kind of like, we're just kind of sitting there like, whoa, this happened in real life. Like, you know, like, seriously, like, you've said, you alluded to, like, cars filled with fertilizer, and my stepmother, not very, not a necessarily, you know, a warlike person, but, like, she's telling us this story about this, this code language that she knows because her brother was always in and out of her. She was the youngest of, like, 10 or something like that. I can't remember how many brothers and sisters she has, exactly 12. And her father died when she was, like, 5. So she had a real rough growing up. And her brothers were always in and out of jail because of being Catholic, because she's Catholic.
Yeah.
So she knew, like, this secret IRA talk code that, like, you would go visit your family member, you would, like, relay messages in the secret talk code, like, seriously, the owl flies at midnight kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So I went home.
See, but that's real. I was fighting in movie theaters with other white kids. You know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't doing anything of the sort. You even grew up in a tough neighborhood. I grew up in the suburbs. I mean, I wasn't around.
But that's what's weird to me is, like, my reaction to growing up in this tough neighborhood, basically, is to become the person that I am today, which is to say, like, you know, like,
a fop.
Yeah, exactly. Like, 1,000%, like, I like the world's most effete, you know, like, if I drank, I would only be interested in wines. You know what I mean?
Or,
like,
absinthe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's like the person.
Or ether.
Exactly.
Abusing ether.
There are only in my life like a few things that like harken back to my place of origin, like my El Camino, which
and your
I love,
tattoo.
And my teardrop tattoo that I got when I was prison because I killed someone while in prison.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There's this something that happened that put me in mind of the old neighborhood. Was I went to my girlfriend's little brother's birthday party maybe like a year ago, and he had it at the Cusar, and he was turning.
Cusar is like a fun zone, family fun.
It's
center.
Like a, it's a no. It's a specifically a laser tag okay. place. I think they might have some kind of Chuck E. Cheesy stuff there too, but it's specifically okay. a laser
There's
tag
not a
place.
Miniature golf go kart.
Yeah, and my girlfriend grew up in Mill Valley, which is in Marin in Northern California, and just north of San Francisco. And it's kind of a my girlfriend grew up in a very middle class, working class family, but generally speaking, it's kind of a fancy pants. You know, white wine and Volvo kind of place. And we went to the Cusar there.
Volvo taking the hit today, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's the second time Volvos have gotten
okay,
killed.
Okay, white wine, and it's sort of a white wine and Saab type
there
of place.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's balance it out.
And we went to this Cusar.
Saab thought it was going to get off scot-free no. today.
Yeah, eat it, Saab.
Nope.
Who do you think you are?
And there was totally in the Cusar facility, in the bathroom, there was gang graffiti. Mm-hmm. In the Cusar. Like, what do they do? What is the gang's, like, do the gang kids, like, do the Norteños really, like, they're, like, really, like, repping hard in the inside of the Family Fun Center?
So actual gangs? Not like,
No.
Like faux laser
no,
tag
yeah,
gangs?
And to be clear, yeah, let me be absolutely clear. The reason it put me in mind thinking of, you know, old neighborhood kind of stuff is because I knew what the gang graffitis were because I knew the gang graffiti from my neighborhood, right? So, like, I knew what the gangs were.
Yeah. So it was like, real gangs hanging out at the laser tag joint.
Hanging out at the laser tag? Like, is that what the gangs do when they're not, you know, trafficking narcotics?
I would think it would be like you know, Lace Golden Zap. Like it was like the American Gladiators just hanging out at the laser tag place.
Fucking American Gladiators.
Got their outfits on. Hey, you want
Ice
some?
And turbo.
That's what they've been doing since American Gladiators stopped being on the air. They mostly just hang out at the laser
sure.
tag place.
Malibu brings you, he gives you your shoes you have to rent. Do you have to rent shoes for laser tag? I have no idea.
That's your best.
You do, yeah, you best, certainly, okay. yeah, you do have to rent shoes for
really?
Laser tag. No, of course not. It's fucking ridiculous.
No?
Like, what kind of shoes would they be? Laser shoes?
Space shoes, Jesse? From space.
No, but that was one of this. That was just the weirdest place to spot something
sure.
from. And it was like a fancy, like a relatively fancy place. It just goes to show you. Mm. Just goes to show you, Jordan.
Just goes to show you.
You had a lot of gang. You had a lot of gang stuff in the OC, right?
Oh,
when
not
you were
even
growing
a little
up.
Bit.
Yeah.
No, not even a little bit.
No.
Where'd you grow up in North Orange County?
Mission Viejo.
Oh, okay. I lived in Mission Viejo and El Toro. And,
oh, really?
I used to work at Little Caesars in Mission
Wait
Viejo.
Wait a minute. Are you my dead grandpa?
I could be.
You probably are.
Are you the guy I bought a Little Caesars pizza from once?
There's no doubt about that. If I was in a house coat and a hairnet on Halloween, that was absolutely me. That's one of the worst mistakes I ever made in my life.
Wow.
On Halloween, you could dress up to be, you know, Little Caesars encouraging you to dress up.
Really?
Yeah, so I came to work in a dress like a lady.
Uh-huh.
And I had like a house dress and slippers, slip-on slippers with the little pantyhose thing.
Uh-huh.
And I had actual foam curlers in my hair.
Uh-huh.
And the bad lipstick. I looked like the woman who would wake up, you know, with a rolling pin. I had a rolling pin
right.
the whole nine. Because I was only working like 9 to 3.
Right.
So I could get away with it. Well, some people called in sick, whatever. I wound up being there. I pulled it like an 11-hour shift. I was there from like 9 to
God.
8. So and we had the lobby full of people. And I'm in foam curlers and lipstick. Hi, can I help you? They're doing pizza? Anybody? Oh,
yeah,
horrendous.
Yeah.
Just grim. So, Mission Viejo, I apologize to step
no.
on that, but
yeah, no, that's fine. Not really.
There was nothing really to
that.
Step on. Yeah,
no, that's
there's
fine.
A Circuit City.
Yeah, oh, where service is state of the art.
Yeah, there's like a pet store.
Yeah, there was. A pet
I understand
store.
They sell headphones over there at the Circuit City. You might want to look into stopping by.
Yeah.
Ooh,
zing!
It's called a callback, Jordan.
Gotcha. I'm in the comedy business. I know about callbacks.
I don't. Well, see, here's the thing, Mike. I don't know why the dog needs two pairs of headphones.
Ask him. It was him telling me.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. This is Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse.
Jordan.
With us, Mike Schmidt, comedian and writer. MikeSchmidtComedy.com if you want to find out more about where he's doing stand-up comedy. You're also on the MySpace now, right?
I am, yeah. You can go to MySpace, Mike Schmidt Comedy.
Yeah, if you just go to MySpace/Mike Schmidt, that's actually the former Phillies player.
I don't know if he, you know what, I don't know if he still has a page, because I made him my friend, because I thought it was funny, and then he was like my number two friend, and then all of a sudden his picture disappeared. And then I tried to find him, and I think his page has been taken down.
Do you think
his
maybe
girlfriend probably made him do it?
You know,
he didn't like some of those comments.
You know what happened is fucking Dickie Thon kept emailing him.
You think
and
so?
He didn't want to talk to Dickie Thon.
Look at you pulling out a Dickie Thon reference.
Yeah, who'd you know that the dandy was going to drop Dickie Thon on you?
Steve Jeltz, I could have seen you bring it up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's funny because that ties into the question that I want to bring up in this outro. This is an action item. We obviously not an action item heavy program. We're going to do another show a little bit later this week because you're going to be gone next weekend, Jordan. So we'll make it a listener show with a lot of questions and stuff. But what I really want to address is this question. Mike, for your edification, for those who recently listened, We had a big discussion on the show of Jaimin Hansu versus Chiwetel Ejiofor. We had a lot of listener discussion about the relative merits of Jaimin Hansu and Chiwetel Ejiofor. We had NPR commentator Mike Pesca gave us a very insightful commentary on the subject of Jaimin Hansu versus Chiwetel Ejiofor. We only later realized that it could be perceived as xenophobic or potentially racist that would do this. Anyway, it was a very valuable...
It's both.
Yeah, which it is, as it turns out, now that we think about it. And we're sorry if anyone took it that way.
So everybody feels better. Our next one's going to be Bijou Phillips versus Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
That's going to be our next battle of the weird names.
Well, here it is. We've been talking a lot about Shia LaBeouf. We've been talking about Shia LaBeouf on the show because neither of us are really sure exactly who he is.
In Hawaii.
Yeah, what'd you think of him?
So the sheen's off, man.
What'd you think of
Shia
LaBeouf?
Not impressed. Nope.
Was a sheen before?
There was. There
really?
Was a hearty sheen because he's like, why do I know this name? What's he been in?
Yeah. Why is everybody
hosting
talking
Saturday
about,
Night Live?
Yeah, this guy's hosting Shia LaBeouf. I just assumed when I found out he was hosting Saturday Night Live that he was a cast member of Lost because I don't know who the cast members of Lost are.
I jumped to conclusions. He was a little dull, but he was like really nice and like said some genuinely funny things. And, I interacted with him on two accounts, and you know, if you've seen my work, if you've seen my television work, you know, it's just kind of goofing off with celebrities, and sometimes they don't have a good attitude about it, but he totally had a good attitude.
Well, that's points for him in his conflict with Minnesota Twins pitcher Boof Bonzer.
Shia LaBeouf versus Boof Bonzer.
Shia LaBeouf versus Boof Bonzer, ladies and gentlemen. Place your bets now and get to voting on the Maximum Fun message board and discussing their relative merits.
When are we going to do Bijou Phillips versus Zooey Deschanel?
We'll save that one, Jordan. It's
okay.
Coming up. Okay,
yeah, when Hostel 2 is coming out with a Bijou Phillips in it, so maybe we wait for that.
I have
a Bijou Phillips story as well.
We need
we'll
a news
tell that
hook.
Later.
We need a news hook, Jordan.
Yeah, that's
so if
true.
You don't know who Boof Bonzer is, he's a former first-round pick of the San Francisco Giants. He rose quickly through the San Francisco Giants system and was traded in the San Francisco Giants' ill-fated trade with the Twins for A.J. Pierzynski.
Perhaps the most lopsided trade of the last 15 years.
A trade that has really, 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 to borrow a phrase from your former podcast, broken badly for the San Francisco Giants.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons that it has broken badly is that Boof has turned into an effective pitcher for the Minnesota Twins. So it's Boof Bonzer of the Minnesota Twins versus Shia LaBeouf, star of the movie Happy Feet 2.
Boof Bonzer went for $10 in my American League Fantasy League auction draft. Shia LaBeouf, not drafted.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point.
Points
on
for
the
Boof.
Other hand, on the other hand, has Boof Bonzer ever hosted Saturday Night Live?
Not yet.
Not yet. We'll see. Derek Jeter did once.
It's anything's possible. So did Charles Barkley.
I mean, who knows? For all we know, Boof Bonzer may be friends with Paul Simon, and I think that's all you need to do to get to host Saturday Night Live is just be friends with Paul Simon. Jordan, do you have any initial feelings about Shia LaBeouf versus Boof Bonzer?
No, I mean, I don't know much about Boof Bonzer other than his name is funny.
Uh-huh.
But, Shia LaBeouf, I liked quite a lot. I haven't seen any. Well, I guess I saw Surf's Up, the movie he did. He does the voice for, and I kind of liked
Happy
that.
Feet 2.
Happy Feet 2. And he did a good job in that. I thought that was a pretty good movie. I have not seen any of his... I didn't see Saturday Night Live that he hosted. I didn't see his hit thriller Disturbia. And I'm also told he's been on a Disney Channel show, which I also don't know about.
He's probably the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. It's probably Hannah Montana.
He's also going to be Indiana Jones' son.
Is he really?
Yeah, 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 totally. He's got a lot of... Oh, and I guess I've seen him in Constantine, which I kind of liked.
Oh, I didn't see Constantine. Yeah. I saw him in a copy of Interview Magazine.
Yeah.
Which they should just call Shitty Magazine. I got that subscription to that on the eBay. Thumbs down for Interview Magazine.
Yeah, I think I would like that. It has interviews. I like those.
Yeah, I like interviews, too.
Are you sure it does?
It's celebrities interviewing other celebrities. No. And celebrities not the best interviewers, as it turns out.
Hmm. Weirdo.
It's mostly like,
they're weirdos.
So,
they're rich weirdos.
Where
Jordan,
are you
Jordan
right
the
now?
Exception to that, though.
Yeah,
Jordan
that's
is a
true.
Celebrity who interviews celebrities, and he's
and
good at
does
it.
Does a great job. Shia LaBeouf versus Boof Bonzer. Do you have any thoughts about it, Mike?
I'm a Bonzer guy. I'm not a Shia LaBeouf because I watched Project Greenlight that he was on, making the Battle of Shaker Heights with these pretentious directors, and his mom's like this crazy hippie. And you know, he was only, I think, 16
he
or
grew
17.
Up in the circus or something,
yeah,
didn't
he? Yeah, some odd 60s house, you know, where everybody was banging around. And
you sound like Points 4 to
really?
Me.
You think
yeah,
so?
Yeah, definitely.
His mom would just creep
traveling
me out.
Circus performer? Come on, man.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not ready to come down on either side, especially because I'm not as familiar as I could be with Shia LaBeouf's work. But I have been following Boof Bonzer for quite some time. I picked him out early in his career when he was a first-round draft pick for my favorite team, the San Francisco Giants. And I've been following him. I'm really happy that he's made it to the majors and had some pretty significant success with a really high-quality ball club, the Minnesota Twins. I mean, I like that they have a big artificial domed stadium that is made out of some kind of plastic bag material named after Hubert H. Humphrey.
Yes.
I like that his name is Boof Bonzer. He's a flamethrower.
That place smells like the inside of your fridge, by the way.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah. They need a baking soda infusion at Pronto. That place reeks.
So there's your action item. If you have thoughts about Shia LaBeouf versus Boof Bonzer, remember, keep them pithy. 206-984-4FUN is the number to call. 206-984-4FUN. Or you can email jjgo@maximumfun.org. Or you can discuss it and vote on our message board at MaximumFun.org/forum. And, of course, all the usual admonitions about action items apply. Personal questions for Jesse and Jordan are welcome. Problems for Judge John Hodgman. Do we got anything
else? Significant events in your life.
Significant events in your life, definitely. I talked to a guy who's going to graduate from college. He told me he's gonna call in during his college graduation.
Nice.
Mike Schmidt, you are also you've moved from podcasting to broadcasting recently with David Lawrence, right?
Yeah, I'll be every Friday. I'll be a recurring guest on David Lawrence's Online Tonight syndicated radio show, which is also on XM. I believe it's on the Open Road channel. 171 or 170, I'm not
That's
sure.
That's the Trucker Channel.
It is.
And what's he doing on the Trucker Channel?
Wondering why he got switched from the technology channel. But entertaining truckers and keeping America awake.
You know, so. Honestly, when I was on XM, I was on like the teen and young adult talk channel.
Yeah.
And it was only truckers that called in.
Well, because they're looking for teens.
Teen truckers? Yeah.
So I'll be on David. And every Friday I will be on David's podcast, that means, which is Online Tonight. I think you go to onlinetonight.com.
Yeah, or you can just search for Online Tonight in your iTunes.
Yeah, absolutely. If you Google, if you put in David Lawrence or Online Tonight, it'll absolutely bring you to that podcast. And I will be on every Friday with David, also on his radio show for an hour, which you can subscribe to as well, and then also on the podcast.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for being on Jordan Jesse Go. It was super, super fun.
I'm a huge fan of Sound of Young America. I would not have known of John Hodgman without your show, and it led me to buy the book, and I became a huge fan, and then he blew up, so I felt like I was kind of in on him.
Yeah, and on
beforehand.
The ground floor of Hodgman.
Yeah, because I just dry, and loved your interview with him, and then read the book, devoured it, and became a huge fan, and I want to thank you for that, and loved that show, loved this show, and loved the fact that you asked me to be a part of it. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Well, thank
yeah,
you
thanks,
so much, Mike.
Thank
we'll
you
be,
very much.
Appreciate it, Jordan.
We'll be back next week on Jordan Jesse Go, huh?
Yes, we will.
If you want to see pictures of my puppy dog, you can visit flickr.com/group/maximumfunpics. That's real, by the way. Oh, Jordan.
What?
You're going to be excited about this. Every week on Jordan Jesse Go, at the end of the program, we play a song submitted by a listener. Mm-hmm. We play it at the end of the
show.
Oh, man,
we're going to play a Weird Al song?
No, we're not going to play a Weird Al song. Why did you
I thought you said I'd be excited. That's all I can think of that would make me excited.
We play the song at the end of the show so that if you don't like it, you can just skip it. This week's song comes from a guy that you knew in college, Jordan.
Oh, yeah?
Somebody that I knew in college. Somebody that directed me in a play that you wrote.
Wait, is this an Ashcon song?
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow, great. That's great. Yeah, Ashcon's amazing.
Now, our friend from college, Ashcon, is now a rapper. I understand he just got out of the studio with Irv Gotti from the Murder, Inc. empire. He also... he's also just put out a single with, Zion from Zion Eye and somebody like Pep Love from Hieroglyphics or two Mista Fab. I think it was Mista Fab. Two Bay Area hip hop icons. I can't remember exactly which two. But this is a song from his most recent mixtape. This is called Hot Tubbin'.
Oh, man. Yeah, Ashcon is great. I just want to really put all of my support behind this guy. Like, you should really check him out.
Ashcon is on the MySpace. It is www.myspace.com/Ashcon, A-S-H-K-O-N, 1, numeral 1. So, MySpace/Ashcon1. And this is Hot Tubbin'. Hey, it's Jesse breaking into this show. We had such a good time talking with Mike that we had two whole segments that we left out of the program, and that I left out of the program, not because they were less good than the other ones, but instead because I thought they went together nice for a little extra bonus show. So if you have iTunes, you'll have to download it manually. You go into the iTunes and go into your podcasts, and you'll see it there. You just have to tell it to download it. And if you don't have iTunes, then you should have downloaded it, and you can listen to it. If none of those work, you can always visit the website at MaximumFun.org and download it there. You can hear Mike talking about writing for a show, which involves hilarious video clips of animals and people. And you can also hear Jordan talking about going to the Star Wars convention and our hilarious manglings of the Star Wars universe. Anyway, enjoy Ashcon.
Friends and family, free sausages, snuck in Jimmy Bean. Warriors won the game, 127-119. Called my homie up, said, "Yo, what's happening?" He said, "There's a party going down on the west side. What you gonna do? You should come on through." Say, "Yeah, that sounds alright." Oh yeah, he said, "Just one more thing," he said. "You better bring a couple girls, cause it's a sausage fest." God damn it, alright, I'll see what I can do. Whatever it takes to do what you know that I wanna do. Hot tubbing on the late night. Yada-da-mean. Oh. Hot tubbing on the late night. Yada-da-mean. Oh. At the sausage fest, wasn't having fun. Not enough buns, not enough huns, wasn't gonna get none. So I had to go to the liquor store and get a 4-0 before the store closed. Oh, oh, nice part, but her teeth was busted. Wasn't for me, yada da mean, no. Oh, what am I gonna go? Where am I gonna do? What I wanna do is find a place to. Hot tubbing on the late night. Yada da mean. Oh, hot tubbing on the late night. Yada da mean. Oh, got my cell phone out, started making calls. Unlimited nights and weekends got me calling all my bros. Hey girl, what you doing right now? I got an idea that you can't turn down. What's the big idea? She said, what are you talking about? I told her, grab a couple towels. You're about to find out. What about Stacey? We was gonna watch a movie. We can make a long stay, say. We can all jump in a hot jacuzzi. Who's a? Who's a? Who's a? Now all three of us cruising, looking for a place to do this. But where we gon' find such a jacuzzi? Pulled into the Motel 6. It's at the pool hour, so we hop in the fence. First I take my shoes off, then I'm dropping my pants. Turn the bubbles up and get in. Time to romance. Hot tubbing on the late night. Yada-da-meet. Oh, oh. Hot tubbing on the late night. Yada-da-mean. Oh, hot tubbing on the late night. Hot tubbing on the late night. Yada-da-mean. Oh, oh. Hot tubbing on the late night.
Don't that just feel so good?
Yada-da-mean. Oh.